How wonderful it is to have a God that is so great. Amen. And a God that reaches down so deeply into our lives to guide us, to love us, to direct us, to bring us peace and comfort. It's overwhelming, isn't it? I want you to listen to these words that come from the book of Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. I'm going to read verse 1, and then I'm going to skip verses 2 and 3 and move on down and read 4 through 7. And the reason I'm skipping verses 2 and 3, because verses 2 and 3 are the date of the letter, and who's the mailman? Okay? And that's what verses 2 and 3 are. It tells us when this letter was written, and it also tells us about who carried the letter to the people in exile. So listen to these words. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priest, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what the Lord God, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Let's do a little bit of history. The people of Israel have not been living the life that they should have been living. They have not been living the way that God wanted them to live by the commandments of God. They've lived their own way for their own benefit, for their own, just what they could get out of it. They have not been doing what God wanted them to do. So God has allowed the Babylonians to come in and capture Jerusalem and Israel and has carried them off. You see, this is different than the Assyrian captivity for the northern kingdom. The Assyrian captivity for the northern kingdom, they took part of the people off to Assyria and they brought some Assyrians in and they intermarried with the folks. The Babylonian idea of captivity is we're going to destroy your towns and we're going to destroy everything that you were used to. The temple is gone again. And we're going to cart you off 1,000 miles from where you live and we're going to set you up in your own little neighborhoods. We don't want to intermarry with you. We don't want, but we're not going to allow you to go back home and rebuild. You see, that's the idea of the Babylonian captivity. They have come and they have carted some off. There are still some people left in Jerusalem, Jeremiah being one of them. And he has written this letter to them to tell them what to do. God's people right now are living amongst their captives in a land far from home. I mean, I can't imagine what that would be like. For someone to come here and to grab a hold of us and destroy everything that we know and then carry us to another country. That's what's happened to the people because they have not followed God's ways. And God tells them beforehand it's going to last for 70 years. These people have been carted off into exile. And they're having to learn how to live again. They're having to rebuild houses. They're having to rebuild families. They're having to do a whole lot to start all over again. Now, as you can imagine, there's many people among them that are trying to encourage them, trying to lift them up, trying to help them to see what God's doing. There are some prophets who have come amongst them, and they're telling them, do not worry. God will lead you home again soon. Don't worry. God's going to lead you home again soon. It's just around the corner. It's going to happen any day now, is what some of these prophets are saying. And they're encouraging the people, don't set up new houses, don't set up new things, don't start growing crops, because God is going to come in and is going to crush the Babylonians, and we will be going back home to rebuild. Those prophets are there. And they're speaking time and time again, and they're speaking to help and to try to encourage people, to lift up their spirits. There's a problem, though. They're false prophets. They're not telling the truth. They're telling what they hope will be true. That's what they're telling. They're not telling what's really going to happen. It's not that they have listened to God and God has said, this is what you need to tell the people. They're telling the people what they want to hear. Hey, don't worry. This tragedy will be over soon and we will be going back home. Isn't that what you would want to hear? I think about the people in Florida right now that their homes have been destroyed by Hurricane Ian, and they're being told, don't worry, you'll be able to rebuild your houses and you'll be able to get everything straight again. That's going to be years to come. That is going to be years to come, not next week, not next month. I remember taking a youth group down to Mississippi after Hurricane Katrina. The youth leaders took them down there that we could work on some houses and help people get their houses established again. We were there a year after the hurricane. One day we were told, take off the afternoon, don't work on the houses. I want you to take everybody into New Orleans and see. 1 year later, the amount of destruction 1 year later was still unbelievable. We saw whole neighborhoods that were nothing but concrete slabs with pipes sticking up. There was not a piece of the building left. And there were whole neighborhoods that way. There were still abandoned cars on almost every street. You see, these prophets are coming in and saying, no matter what's going on, we're going back soon. We're going to reestablish soon, and God's going to crush the Babylonians. It wasn't true. It was not true at all. Because Jeremiah writes the message to the people, and God's message is this: to settle down, to grow your families, to pray for the people and the country where you are living now. That was God's message. Settle down, grow your families, plant crops, pray for the people, pray for those who took you captive, pray for those who led you 1,000 miles from home and who are, by the way, laughing at you because your God didn't protect you. Pray for them. And pray that their country will be prosperous. Wow, kind of a different message than what the false prophets are telling, isn't it? And it's not really the message you probably want to hear in that situation, is it? What do you mean, pray for the people who have taken us captive? What do you mean, pray for their country, that it will prosper? God, they took us captive. Why should we pray for them? Why should we lift them up? Why should we look out for their welfare? Look at what they've done to our nation. Look at what they've done to our towns. Look at what they did to your temple, God. And you're telling us to settle down, to grow families, plant crops, and pray for prosperity for the people that did all that to us. I don't know about you, but that would be a challenge, wouldn't it? I'm not sure that, I'm sure of this. I would really struggle with that for a while. And the people did. Even though that was God's message to them, the people struggled with it. And God told them, pay attention to the welfare of your captives. Do what, God? Why should I pray for them? Well, look at what it says. We'll read verse 7 again. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. You mean my enemies have got to prosper so I can prosper? Isn't that what it says? God says, pray for your enemies. Pray for the town that you live in. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. I don't know about you, but I think I'd be sitting down talking with God with a very big concern on my heart. God, I think you got this wrong. Do you not realize what these people have done to us? Do you not realize what they did to your temple? And you're telling us, settle down. Don't fight against them. Pray for them. I do wonder what some of the people in the Ukraine who have been had their territories captured by the Russians. I wonder how many of them are praying for the Russians who are holding them captive. Praying that their hearts might change. Praying that they might have compassion on the people that they have overrun. Praying that they might prosper. You see, as I think about our condition, as I think about us, don't we live in a land that doesn't support our Christian way of living? Don't we live in a land that does not support our Christian way of living? Could God's message be the same to us? Could God's message be the same to us? You see, this is not our country if you believe in Jesus Christ. Your citizenship's in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
I am so thankful for that. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm thankful to be an American. But my citizenship's in heaven. I'm thankful to live in a country where I can come and speak what I feel God wants me to say to you. I'm thankful that I live in a country where we can gather on Tuesday morning and pray. Without somebody coming in and saying, what are you doing? You can't do that. I'm thankful that I live in a country where we can study the Bible, where we have copies of it that are available to us to read, to study, to memorize, to meditate on. I'm very thankful of that. But I'm also very aware that Christianity is becoming a minority in this country. It's not a majority. We are not a Christian nation. They are doing things to try to keep us from being Christians and following God the way that we should follow God. They're doing things that encourage us to shut down our way that God is asking us to live. Don't do this and don't do that. And if you do that and you offend somebody, which I find amazing because they can do what the Bible says not to do, and I'm not allowed to be offended. But they can be offended if I tell them what the Bible says. I mean, where's the rightness in that? If they can speak their peace, so can I, right? Thought that's one of the things that this country was established on. But we do live in a land that does not support our Christian way of living. It's not the 1950s anymore, folks. I shared with you some numbers a few weeks ago. I quoted one wrong. I want to get that right. In 1972, not the 1950s, as early as 1972, 96% of the people in the United States called themselves Christians. Right now, only 64% do. Fifty years later, it has dropped by 30%. They expect in another 50 years for it to drop about another 30%. Sometime within the next 30 years or 50 years, Christianity will be a minority in this country. And it's not because of other religions that are coming here from around the world. It's because people are choosing not to believe anything. We as the Church of God are now living in exile. And we're seeing what's happening because of that. So as I look at this message, I look at and I say, maybe God's saying the same thing to us. It's time to establish ourselves in a big way, right where God has planted us, in a big way, to grow as a spiritual family in this place. Amen? Amen. It's time for us to establish and to plant crops here that will produce fruit here. It's time. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be people that fight against us. Are you ready for that? It's time for us to plant some crops right here that'll grow fruit. It's time for us to build some families right here. It's time for us to pray for this town. To pray for the leaders, to pray for our workers, to pray for the first line people, to pray for the people in the hospital, to pray for every individual in this town that God might touch their hearts and change their hearts if they're not a Christian. I think God's saying the same thing to us. If this town prospers, so will we. If this town prospers, so will we. Are we praying for those people that are struggling against us? Are we praying for those people that want us to shut down and be glad to see some churches gone? Are we praying that God will touch their hearts? Are we praying that God will touch our hearts? Because, folks, the truth of the Bible is, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you'll not go to heaven. The Bible says you'll go to hell. And hell was not prepared for people. Read your scriptures carefully. Hell was prepared for Satan and his minions, his demons. It was not prepared for humanity. But people in our country are choosing to go that way by not believing in Jesus Christ. And we're standing by and letting them. And that breaks God's heart. Until we change our ways and continue to reach out to folks, not just church folks, we don't need to swap members with another church. We don't need to gain members by going to other churches and trying to get them to come here. We need to grow a spiritual family of new folks. We need to grow a spiritual family of people who have never accepted Jesus Christ before. We need to have that baptismal pool full every week because we're doing baptisms every week. There's more than enough people in this town to do a baptism every week. At least one. For the next how many years? Easy. Easy for 50 more years. You'd wear your poor pastor's body out, dunking folks. I'd have to get some of the deacons in there to help me. Amen. Let's do it, brother. Right, Jerry? Amen. Folks, when are we going to realize we are living in exile? And when are we going to realize it's time for us to pray for the prosperity of this town so that we will prosper? Next year sometime is the latest I've heard that the new glove plant is going to be opening up. 2,500 employees and their families are going to be moving into this community. 2,500 employees and their families. Are we going to let them live their lives without knowing about Jesus Christ? Are we going to let pews continue to stay empty? You see, there's people out there we need to talk to. There's people out there we need to pray for. There's people out there that we need to reach. And I know somebody will probably tell me later, Pastor, I don't know of anybody that doesn't go to church. I'm not going to call you a liar. But I'm going to ask you to look on your street as you drive home at how many vehicles were there when you left and they're still there when you return home. To me, that probably means they didn't go to church today. They live right there around you. You see them at Walmart and Food Lion and Food City. You see them when you go to Walgreens and CVS. You see them in the park. You see them everywhere you go. Are we praying for their prosperity? The prosperity that says they come to know Jesus Christ? You know, it's not an issue for me if they come to this church. But it's an issue for me if they don't go to any church. If we lead them to Christ and they find a church where they feel more comfortable than here, I have no problems with that. We've gained somebody for the kingdom of God. And God will bless us for that. God will bless us for every person that comes to the kingdom of God. Whether it's at this church or another one. Because the truth is, we're not in competition with other churches. We're supposed to be working together to reach people for Jesus Christ. So if somebody feels more comfortable at a Pentecostal Holiness Church. I'm glad that Jerry finally became Baptist, by the way. But
amen.
Amen. If they feel more comfortable at a Pentecostal Holiness Church, what's wrong with that? If they feel more comfortable at the Lutheran or the Episcopal or the Catholic or the Methodist or the Presbyterian, what's wrong with that? We all believe in the one Jesus Christ, right? Folks, are you willing to consider that maybe this message to the exiles is the message that God has for us? Build families, plant crops, pray for the prosperity of those that you live amongst, no matter what they believe right now. Pray for the prosperity that they might come to know Jesus Christ. Pray for our hearts, that our hearts might develop to continue to pray for their prosperity. Folks, God has left us here to talk to people about Jesus Christ. And when we don't do it, that's a sin. And in my opinion, maybe one of the biggest sins that we can commit is to not tell other people about Jesus Christ. It's time. It's time to plant crops. It's time to build a spiritual family here. Are we ready? And are we praying for it? What will you do to help Withville and With County prosper? What will you do to help Withville and With County prosper? And the very best thing that you can do is help people to come to know Jesus Christ. They're out there, folks. And they need to know. What are you going to do? Not the person that sits in another pew. What are you going to do? God's asking you to be involved. And it's time for us to plant crops and build a spiritual family right here on this street corner that is much more diverse and many more people than we see this morning. Are you ready? It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But God will bless us if we do it. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, time and time again in your word, you ask us to live as your people in a way that will touch people's hearts. And sometimes, Lord, we have a hard time doing that. Sometimes, Lord, we just like to live in our own little universe, our own little box. And we don't want to interact with the difficult people. We don't want to interact with the people that push against us because we believe in Jesus Christ. But Lord, you've asked us to pray for their prosperity. And you've asked us to love them just as you do already. Create within our hearts a desire to love them, to seek their prosperity so that we might prosper here in this church by establishing a larger spiritual family and by establishing a crop that will feed many and that will please you. May we truly be about getting ready for the harvest. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.